Hello. My name is Kayla Bean. I was born and raised in the jungles of Guatemala, so the New York City is very different to me, but, you know, God's heart is everywhere, and God's heart, when we ask him, God, what do you have for me? He'll give you a piece of his dream, what he dreamt up for our lives, and we'll begin to live that out, and that's our destiny, and each one of us had that. Each one of us in God has a dream and a destiny and a plan that he wants to fulfill through our lives, and it starts with intimacy and with falling in love with him. In 2012, my heart got sick of repeat. We live on repeat in this world, and the sin looks differently, but the same results, the morning after, the baggage, the emptiness, the hollowness. It promises, the world can promise you everything, but at the end of it, it leaves you with less of yourself. And for me, I got sick and tired of it. And I turned 21, and halfway through my 21st year, being 21, I cried out to God. I was leaving a party, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, if you're real, and if it's true that you dreamt of me before you created the world, there's nothing in this world that I have found that's worth living for. And for me, what I believe now is that until you find something worth dying for, you haven't started living. And so I said, God, I haven't found anything in this world that's worth living for. So if it's true that you have a dream for me and that you want me and that you say it's not that I'm strong, but it's that you're strong. It's in your strength. It's not in mine because I'm weak. And I don't know how to deny myself and I don't know how to seek your face and how to walk the straight and narrow. But if you say it's about you, not about me, then I want all of you. And you can have all of me. And from that point, I gave him 2012 to prove himself to me, to wreck my life if his love was that real and his love was that good, wreck my life. Because I'm not about to exist on the sidelines of truth and never know why I was created, never know why I'm breathing. There's a title of this kind of something that God's put on my heart is why are we breathing? Why are we here? It's not because you're walking down the streets with lights and you're avoiding the alleyways. It's because the God of the universe and the creator of this world had you in mind and still longs to use you and to reach through you. It's because he hasn't forgotten you and because he sees you and he's longing and he's longing to invite you to include you into his family. And so my passion has begun in 2012, and I can't get enough of God. There's no end to it. I thought maybe at some point I would get to a place where I knew God, but the crazy thing about God is that you'll never have enough of him. You'll never have enough. It's the only thing in the world that you can't. I mean, the more you have of him, the more you want of him. And the more you want of him, the less you want of yourself. And so it's like, God, get my eyes off of myself because I don't want me anymore. I want you. And I don't want the world to see me. I want them to see you because I've fallen in love with you. And so our actions and our choices and our decisions begin to revolve around what, God, I want people to see who you are, who I have found you to be in my life. And so let my life reflect you. My passion is for truth. I have a passion for truth, for reality. Give me something real and I'll hold on to it. When I was little, I read this book. It's called Jesus Freaks. And it has stories of martyrs from all ages, people that found Jesus to be everything. And so much, Jesus was so worth it to them that I would read these stories of people, families with children standing at the stake to be burned. And their last request was, don't tie us, we want to stand here together. And then there were stories of people that were being, they would be let out and put in freezing cold water. And their bodies would slowly, their chest would tighten and they would slowly die, and the whole time they would sing worship songs to God. And then their tortures, there's a story of this guy where he got so sick of this Christian that wouldn't deny his faith. Just deny your faith. It drives the world mad when you find something that you can't even, the guy said, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces. And the guy smiled and leaned over and said, every piece will still love you. When I was little and I read these stories, I said, God, I want to know you like that. And if I can't know you like that, then I'm not going to play games. I can't play church games. I can't play any type of games. I don't play pretend. I want reality. So if you're that good for them, to where even in the face of the worst suffering and the worst trials that came their way, that they were so madly in love with you and so lost in you and who you were, that in the face of whatever pain and suffering they were about to go through, it made it worth it. There's a value in that that you don't find anywhere else in the world. And those type of stories create a hunger in everyone else to say, what is it that they have? How are they not worried about themselves? How are they not trying to secure themselves and their comforts? Why are they going to those places? Why do they care? Why are they reaching out? Why are they still loving that person? And then they begin to see Jesus. And through our lives, the world begins to meet Jesus. Through our actions, they begin to see him and fall in love with him through our lives. And so I guess that's where my passion and my journey began. But it started with truth. And so my question to you today would be, if there was truth out there, wouldn't you want all of it? Wouldn't you want all of it? Wouldn't you be an all chips in? Can we not be an all chips in generation? One that refuses to settle? Refuse to settle for anything less than everything that God has for you. That's one of my platforms and one of the things that helps me decide where I go or what I do with my life. It's, God, I'm not going to miss out on the dream that you dreamt of me, because I've already fallen in love with you and I already know who you are. And I'm not going to miss out on one step that you have for my life. And my challenge in my heart is for young people and for everyone of all ages to be able to get to that place where you refuse to miss out, refuse to settle. We always try to find, we run around trying to collect our identity and our confidence and security, and we look for it in relationships and we look for it in money and bank accounts and jobs. When the whole time God is saying, they don't know what you're worth. You don't know what you're worth. I created you. My hands formed you. I know your value. They're going to sell you short. They're going to cheat you. They don't know what you're worth. Can I tell you what you're worth in my eyes? Can I tell you what I see when I look at you? Because you're not going to see the real you. You're going to see everything that you're lacking and everything that you're missing and everything you fail in and all the baggage and the lies that have been piled on since childhood. All of that, God says, that's not you. That's what the world is trying to make you. But that's not you. Can I tell you what I see? Can I speak over you? And if you ever get to a place in your life where you're sick and tired of the lies and you've believed them for too long, and you've let people decide and make decisions for you, and you've let your emotions direct you for too long, and you already know the end of the story. I hated that my life became predictable. That's what sin is. Sin is predictable. You can know that whatever it looks like from the beginning, at the end it's going to feel the same. You're going to be empty, and you're going to be more hollow and more lost, and there's going to be less of yourself. I can promise you that. And at the end of it, if you ever stop and ask yourself, or just get sick of living on repeat and just cry out to God, God's right there. The whole time he's right there just waiting for us to give up in ourselves. Stop running around. Stop running in circles trying to fill yourself. You are created by me. You are not from this world, so nothing in this world can fill you. Only I can fill you. At the beginning of this year, God told me, I was asking him, God, what do you have for this year? What should I prepare my heart for? And I felt like he was saying, we live for our physical needs. We live for when I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. When I'm thirsty, I'm going to drink. And we try to satisfy the surface issues. And he said, all of that, he said, that's just, those are smoke screens to a hunger that's so much deeper in them. And it's only satisfied in me. And he's creating this hunger that's he's exposing in people. And I see it in people's eyes. If you ever look at people's eyes, they're hollow and they're empty and they're hungry. And there's something missing. And they know there's something missing. And we know there's something missing. And when you meet Jesus, all of a sudden, the missing piece for every person's life is Jesus. So you run around trying to tell them, don't cheat yourself anymore. Don't waste any more time in that. You're not going to find what you're looking for. I know what you need. And it's Jesus. And here he is. And this is what he did for me. And our life begins to revolve around that. And the only reason why we're still alive and we're still breathing is because I read this quote on Tumblr where it said, if you're still breathing, it's because God's trying to reach somebody through you. Somebody in this world still needs you. Somebody in this world needs to needs you to be a reflection of the Creator that is pursuing, endlessly pursuing our hearts and saying, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've come from. It matters who I am. Do you want to know what I say about you? Do you want to see why I've created you? Do you want to know why you're breathing? Why are you here? That's the only place where you're going to be satisfied. So you can run around in circles trying to think that it's if I had more this or if I had this. And we have these mile markers in our life that we're trying to pursue and we're trying to reach. And when we reach them, the saddest day is when you reach them and you realize that you're just as empty, if not more, because now there's nothing more in front of you. And so you try to put something else in front of you. Well, I'm still missing this and I'm still... And you run around collecting things that are going to return to dust. Our life returns to dust, but there's a reason far deeper. It's an eternal pursuit. In our heart, there's a soul. God created us to be his family. He longs for us to be his children. He says, in my eyes, with my love, when I'm holding on to you, it's not you holding on to me. It's not about your strength. It's about my strength. Can I hold you through this life? Can I fight for you through this life? You don't have to be alone. You're not alone. So when he starts doing that, first to our lives, then our lives begin to just be willing vessels. And God, you say it's not about me, then here I am, and I'm an empty vessel. Use me. I want people to see, I want my life to represent something that actually matters and something that is going to last, something that's going to rescue people. God's trying to rescue the world through us, first by waking our hearts up to him, and then by sending us out. And he's not sending us out and saying, go and try to love like me. He's saying, if you come to my feet, if you fall in love with me, it's just going to overflow. And your life's just going to overflow. And it's not going to be about a checklist and about how many times you went to church and how many times you did this and that. And it's no longer about you. You get caught up in a story bigger than yourself. And let me tell you, there's nothing more freeing than getting caught up in a story bigger than yourself. Because the more you live for yourself, the more you'll find that you'll never be satisfied. So it's endless. It's endless. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy living for yourself, trying to secure for yourself whatever thing you've put in front of you to pursue. So if we ever pause our life, we get sick of repeat. We get sick of knowing the end of this story. I know where this track leads. God, get me off this train. If you're real and if you have a destiny and if you dreamt of me before the creation of the world, then I don't want to miss out. Refuse to miss out. We need to be a generation that's all chips in. God, have everything. If you want me, you can have me. All of it. And he'll begin to overflow and reveal himself to you. And you won't be able to help it. You fall in love with him. When you fall in love with him, you fall in love with his heart. And you'll find that his heart is people. His heart is people. He's crying out for people to know him. To stop being tricked. To take the blinders off. There's this verse in the Bible. Let me look. Truth. So my passion is for truth. God, if you're real. And then I started reading the Bible. And in Acts 6. Let me see. The apostles, this is after Jesus has died. They've seen their Savior that said he was Jesus, Son of God. He was crucified before their eyes. Everyone was scattered. Then 3 days later when he rose again, the apostles came back together. And now in Acts 5, starting at 29 downwards, it starts, first, all of Acts 5 is about, they put him in jail because they were preaching his word. And then they went to the prison to get them out and bring them before the council. Everything was sealed up, everything was locked up, and they went there and they didn't find them. And they went out and they said, we don't know where the men are. The prison's still sealed up, but we don't know where the men are. And then they said, they're back in the markets. They're preaching about Jesus. So they went and they brought him, drug him before the council. They told him, we told you to never preach in this name again. Then blah, blah, blah. They're talking and then they're furious at him. And they're going to kill him. And hang on, let me start. Where am I going to start? Okay, I'm going to start at 5:33. He goes, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, so he was a respected man in that society, in that town, before the council, he rose up He addressed them. He said, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men." Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody. So he's talking about all the other leaders that have risen up and tried to proclaim that they're the Savior. And then they killed him. They chopped off the head, they killed the leader, and everyone dispersed. He goes, and it amounted to nothing. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody. About 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas of Galilee, appeared in the days of census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God himself. What is truth? It begins here. In the Bible, it begins with the name Jesus, who came to take our place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It starts there. Your truth journey, if you're seeking truth, if you're sick of repeat, if you're sick of the empty, the hollow, if you're sick of basing your life on lies or on your own opinions, and you want to know why you're still here and why you're still breathing, it starts with this Bible that God's left us behind to show us his heart. And in this Bible, he shares his heart and you fall in love with him. And you realize that we're a part of something much bigger than ourselves. And we're still breathing for something much, much greater than securing my own dreams and my own life here. There's a war against our soul. There's a war against our soul. And our choice, the only decision that we have, it's not if you're strong, it's not if you're able, it's not if you can walk the straight and narrow, it's not if you can have self-confidence and think that you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's if you'll surrender, if you'll actually give up fighting for yourself and living for yourself, realizing that it's too empty. And it's too hollow, and this world is too ugly to do it on your own, to walk out on those streets and try to hash it out on your own. When you realize that there's a God and a love so great that he overlooks everything that you're lacking, and he says, "I want you, and I'll go to any measure to reach you and to show you who I am." When you start realizing that, there's a hunger inside that starts rising up, and I guess your passion begins to lead you. And that's what happened to me in 2012. And since then, my passion has expanded my heart so much to the point where I feel like, God, if you consume me anymore, I don't know. I don't even know what that's. I'm going to be the crazy person on the street corner. Like my heart is growing, and I don't even know. I can't contain it. And it's not even my heart, and I can't take credit for anything that God does in my life. But what I do know is, from 2012 to now, looking back, those short years, there was nothing that I would do differently. And that's the first time I've ever been able to say that. There's nothing that I would change. There's no regrets in that walk. That walk has been God winning my heart over and winning through me, it reaching through me. And it's the first time that I've been able to say that. And that's what God offers all of us. Everything that God is for me, God can be for you. God longs to be for you. I'm nobody. I'm a no name. But before God, it starts with being a child of God. God, who do you say that I am? He calls us his beloved. He calls us his bride. He calls us his child. We're desired by him. He longs to be with us. He longs to be our everything. He's crying out. In our darkest moments, he's crying out that, as Pastor P was saying, I'm still here, I'm with you. Can I carry you? Can I fight for you? Because in me, with my name, with the name of Jesus, I promise you victory. Over anything in your life, I promise you victory. There's no bondage that can hold you down. There's no weakness that can define you anymore. All of a sudden, we rise up and we're more than conquerors. Not because of who I am, but because who is in me now. It's Jesus Christ who is in me, who's won my heart. And our life begins to reflect that to the world. And they stand by as people are being burned alive for the name of Jesus. And they're saying, what do they have? What did they find? How did they find something that's more valuable than even their life and even their comforts and even their securities? What is it? And that passion drives them to the foot of the cross where they meet Jesus, someone that took their place, so that when we die, which is the only thing nobody has ever, it's impossible, you can't avoid death. You're not going to avoid death. It's a doorway and it's going to lead you before your Creator, the Creator that's been pursuing you your entire life to tell you that He loves you. And that Creator is going to be the judgment seat when we stand before Him. And you can stand there on your own with your records and your this and your that and everything, all your accomplishments. And you can try to justify yourself before the God of the universe. Which on that account, no one will be justified on our own, by our own works. Or when you stand there before God and He sees you, He's not going to see you. He's not going to ask your last name. He's not going to ask, what did you do with your life and with the time that I gave you? When He sees you, He's going to see His Son. And on account of that and that alone, He's going to say, welcome home. On account of that and that alone, it's not about pedestals and performance. It's about falling in love with a Creator that has fallen in love with you first. And He dreamt of you. You're His dream. Don't let the world and the sin and Satan try to define you by everything that you're not and by your sin and your weaknesses. There's desires inside of us. There's this verse. Let me read it. If I can find it. It's in 1 Peter. And this is, it's in 1 Peter 2:11. He goes, he's crying out to people. He's writing a letter to a church. And he says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world. We weren't made for this world. We're aliens and strangers to this world. This is not my home. Abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. There's a war against our soul. There's a war. We're called to the front lines every single day. They look differently for everybody, but you're on the front lines every day. And it's not about what you have. It's not about what you can bring to the table. It's about God and what He's brought to the table through His Son. And on that, we're promised victory. So with the name of Jesus, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. For myself, and now I'm no longer in this life, I'm not breathing for myself. It's not about me anymore. I know where my home is. I know what I'm living towards, where my eyes are set on eternity and on heaven. And so for these short few years that I have left, my prayer is, God, fight through me. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Fight through me. Use me. Send me. Speak through me. I want to see what you see in people. I want to hear what you hear. That's a dangerous prayer, because you will be that crazy person on the street corner, maybe. Just last night, we were leaving the play Matilda, and we were walking home, and we came across this homeless lady that was just like a ray of sunshine on the sidewalk, and we stopped and talked with her for like 20 minutes. And of course, New Yorkers are walking by and like eyeing you like, what are they doing there, talking to a homeless person? But it's God, like, love overflows from you, and you can't help it. You can't help yourself. You get caught up in something bigger than yourself. And then you realize that Jesus came and freed us from ourselves and from everything that entangled us and all the deceptions and all the lies, all the distractions. God speaks to me in these little kind of, I need visuals and I need simple, break it down to me. How is this going to look in my life? And something that maybe I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I'm not going anymore. I know what road I'm not going to walk down anymore. I know what I don't want out of life anymore. I know what I know that He's my everything. And in that, I lack nothing. And so, because I lack nothing, God, with my time, here I am. Overflow and use me. So, I guess my passion, my heart, is for people to see what I see in Him and what I have found Him to be. Because the same God that won my heart is winning your heart and is chasing after you guys. I guess I'll tell you a story. We had an intern that came down in Guatemala, and in one of our towns, Zacapa, there's a dump, a city dump. And there it's actually people that recycle. People don't recycle in their homes. There's jobs for that. And families live at the dump in the garbage. And they recycle for the town. And that's their only way of income. There's entire families there. So me and the interns go there and we play soccer with them sometimes and bring candy and just play with the kids. And one time I went there with the team. And this girl, she's telling me afterwards, she's standing next to the truck. And she's saying, it was the last place I could ever think of finding myself. It was the last place I wanted to be. I could get over the smells, the burning, the smoke of the burning garbage, the vultures, the dogs, the dirty children, all the diseases. I couldn't imagine the bacteria that was in that place. She said, and as I'm standing next to the truck, I decide, God, well, I'm here. You have me here. So if you want to use me, here I am. And she said, that's all she prayed. She had no heart for that place. That's all she prayed. If you want to use me, here I am. And she said her eyes scanned the garbage, the dump. And she saw this little girl sitting with her back turned to her in the dirt by herself. And she said, in that moment, I don't know what happened. But the smells, I didn't even notice the smells. And in that moment, I felt like God said, I want to hold that little girl. Can I use your arms? And she said she was so overwhelmed with a love for that little girl. She didn't notice the smells. She didn't notice the burning garbage. She didn't even think about the diseases that were in that dirt. And she went and sat and held that little girl. And they couldn't even communicate because it's Spanish. They speak Spanish in Guatemala. She said, but in that moment, it was God's love that was pouring through me. And it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with God's heart. And she just held the little girl and kind of, I guess, played with her and smiled. They smiled at each other. And she was crying, and she said, I realize today what it means when God says, will you be my body? In this one and only life that you have, will you be my body? Can I use you? Will you be my hands and feet? All he asks, all he looks for are for vessels, not for the strong and the mighty. He looks for vessels, broken vessels, that are willing to show up at his feet. And surrender everything. Stop fighting for yourself. Be sick of empty. Be sick of repeat. And say, God, if you want to use me, here I am. And I don't have anything to offer you but my hands and my feet. So they're yours. And his heart will begin beating inside your chest. And then when you meet your Creator, when you stand before him, you'll hear, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. It's all about heaven's kingdom. It's all about eternity. That's what we're living for. That's my passion. So I guess my sister, she died in a car wreck last year, but her note that she had written on her bathroom mirror that she looked at every single morning said, what am I going to do with this one and only life? And so I'll leave you with that. What are you going to do with this one and only life? Time is the most invaluable thing that we have. You can't get it back. You can't extend it. You can't buy it. It has no price. What are you doing with your time, and is it worth it? God bless.
We were praying earlier for this meeting tonight and praying for the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts, and I know he's been doing that. And so I want to invite you, if you're here tonight and you know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you as Kayla has been sharing, and maybe even throughout the whole evening, during the worship, the presence of the Lord has been trying to break through to you where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He alone knows the struggles, the battles. We don't know, but God knows. And if he's been ministering to you and calling you and talking to you, I want to invite you to come join me at the front of this church, and we're going to worship and pray, and we're going to give our burdens, our cares, our concerns, everything to the Lord tonight. We're going to give it all to the Lord. As Kayla said, if you're tired of repeat, you're tired of the same old, and you feel like you're spinning your wheels, I want to invite you to come and yield to the Lord. You might be here, and maybe you have a desire, a worldly desire, that's warring against your soul tonight. It's warring against your soul tonight. The Holy Spirit is saying, tonight's your night of freedom. Just give me your struggle. Give me your battle. Give me everything. Just trust me. Just trust me, he's saying. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to work it out. If you'll just trust me, I love you. I'm not ashamed of you. All the drama, all your personal battles, the Lord says, I'm not ashamed of you. I gave my life for you, knowing your battles, your struggles, knowing it all, and yet I'm still going to use you if you'll surrender and trust me. Let's stand together as Raphael begins to lead us, the worship team begins to lead us tonight. I want to invite you to come to the front and to worship with us. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you've been here before, and you've been sensing that tugging, that wooing, that drawing in your heart, you know that you know that you know. Somehow deep inside, you know that what you're hearing tonight is the truth. This is your night for a miracle, for a change. You'll never be the same. You'll never be sorry. You said yes to Jesus. The Word of God says those that trust in Him will never be put to shame. Some here, there's a tug of war going on the inside. There's a battle going on. The Lord says that the battle is His, it's not yours, it's His. He loves you. Sing, and then we're going to worship and pray, and then this night will be history. But this is your night tonight. It's your night. Say yes to Jesus, and you watch what He's going to do. Your life will never be the same. It'll never be the same. We're going to pray for one another tonight. I want ladies with ladies, men with men, all over the house. We're going to turn this whole place into a prayer meeting. I want you to pair off right now. Come on, ladies with ladies, men with men, in the congregation as well. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for one another tonight for the blessing of God. Look around you. Look around you. Make sure there's nobody by themselves tonight. We're going to begin to pray for one another that God's best, God's will be done in each other's life. Amen. That God will break the bonds of wickedness. Amen. That He'll set the captives free tonight. That He'll change the song. That we won't be on repeat anymore, but that we'll move forward in Christ. Amen. That we'll have a new song. A song of faith and confidence in the Lord. Trust in Him. The God who loved us and gave His life for us. Lord, thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for embracing us, reassuring us, strengthening us, God, quickening us, Lord. Thank you for who you are and who you've made us to be in you. I thank you that you will finish the good work you began in us. You're not a man that you should lie, son of man that you should repent. God, you don't make mistakes. You chose us. We didn't choose you. You chose us and ordained us that we should go forth and bring forth fruit, that our fruit should remain. Father, we thank you for what you will do in and through our lives in the days ahead. Lord, as we sang, our lives are not our own. We've given ourselves to you, and so we trust you. We're going to trust you, Lord, to glorify your name in and through us. We thank you. Help us not to focus on our own struggles. Help us, Lord, not to let the enemy immobilize us by turning inward, but help us to look outward, as Kayla shared so eloquently tonight. Help us to look outward, Lord, to be your hands and feet to this generation. We thank you, and we bless you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bless the Lord tonight.